69. Nothing. Raze is captive. He cannot leave the system he now inhabits. His destructive potential is therefore inhibited. As the bridge fell out from beneath him, Kaladin reached for Stormlight. Nothing. Panic surged through him. His stomach dropped and he tumbled into the air. The fall into the darkness of the chasm was a brief moment, but also an eternity. He caught a glimpse of Shallan and several men in blue uniforms falling and flailing in terror. Like a drowning man struggling toward the surface, Kaladin thrashed for the Stormlight. He would not die this way. The sky was his. The winds were his. The chasms were his. He would not. Syl screamed, a terrified, painful sound that vibrated Kaladin's very bones. In that moment he got a breath of Stormlight, life itself. He crashed into the ground at the bottom of the chasm, and all went black. Swimming through pain. The pain washed over him, a liquid, but did not get inside. His skin kept it out.
"What have you done?"
The distant voice sounded like rumbling thunder. Kaladin gasped and opened his eyes, and the pain crawled inside. Suddenly his entire body hurt. He lay on his back, staring upward at a streak of light in the sky. Syl? No. No, that was sunlight. The opening at the top of the chasm, high above him. This far out onto the shattered plains, the chasms here were hundreds of feet deep. Kaladin groaned and sat up. That strip of light seemed impossibly distant. He'd been swallowed by the darkness, and the chasm nearby was shadowed, obscure. He put a hand to his head. "I got some Stormlight right at the end," he thought. "I survived. But that scream..." It haunted him, echoing in his mind. It sounded too much like the scream he'd heard when touching the duelist's shard blade in the arena. "Check for wounds," his father's teachings whispered from the back of his mind. The body could go into shock with a bad break or wound and not notice the damage that had been done. He went through the motions of checking his limbs for breaks and did not reach for any of the spheres in his pouch. He didn't want to light the gloom and potentially face the dead around him. Was Dalinar among them? Adolin had been running toward his father. Had the prince managed to get Dalinar before the bridge collapsed? He'd been wearing plate and had jumped at the end. Kaladin felt at his legs, then his ribs. He found aches and scrapes, but nothing broken or ripped. That Stormlight he'd held at the end, it had protected him, perhaps even healed him before running out. He finally reached into his pouch and fished out spheres, but found those all drained. He tried his pocket, then froze as he heard something scraping nearby. He leaped to his feet and spun, wishing he had a weapon. The chasm bottom grew brighter. A steady glow revealed fan-like frill blooms and draping vines on the walls, gathered twigs and moss on the floor in patches. Was that a voice? He felt a surreal moment of confusion as shadows moved on the wall ahead of him. Then someone wandered around the corner wearing a silk dress and carrying a pack over her shoulder. Shallan Devar. She screamed when she saw him, throwing the pack to the ground and stumbling backward, hands to her sides. She even dropped her sphere. Rolling his arm in its socket, Kaladin stepped closer into the light. "Calm down," he said. "It's me."
"Stormfather,"
Shallan said, scrambling to grab the sphere off the ground again. She stepped forward, thrusting the light toward him.
"It is you, the bridgeman. How?"
"I don't know," he lied, looking upward. "I've got a wicked crick in my neck and my elbow hurts like thunder. What happened?"
"Someone threw the emergency latch on the bridge."
"What emergency latch?"
"It topples the bridge into the chasm."
"Sounds like a storming stupid thing to have," Kaladin said, fishing in his pocket for his other spheres. He glanced at them covertly. Also drained. Storms. He'd use them all?
"Depends," Shallan said. "What if your men have retreated over the bridge and enemies are pouring across it after you?" The emergency latch is supposed to have some kind of safety lock, so it can't be thrown by accident, but you can release it in a hurry if you need to.
He grunted as Shallan shone her sphere past him toward where the two halves of the bridge were smashed into the ground of the chasm. There were the bodies he'd expected. He looked. He had to. No sign of Dalinar, though several of the officers and light-eyed ladies who'd been crossing the bridge lay in twisted, broken heaps on the ground. A drop of 200 feet or more did not leave survivors. Except Shallan. Kaladin didn't remember grabbing her as he fell, but he didn't remember much of that fall beyond Syl's scream. That scream. Well, he must have managed to grab Shallan by reflex, infusing her with stormlight to slow her fall. She looked disheveled, her blue dress scuffed and her hair a mess, but she was apparently otherwise unharmed.
"I woke up down here in the darkness," Shallan said. "It's been a while since we fell."
"How can you tell?"
"It's almost dark up there," Shallan said. "It will be night soon. When I woke, I heard the echoes of yelling. Fighting. I saw something glowing from around that corner. Turned out to be a soldier who had fallen. His sphere pouch ripped."
She shivered visibly.
"He'd been killed by something before the fall."
"Vorshendi," Kaladin said. "Just before the bridge collapsed, I heard horns from the vanguard. We got attacked." Damnation. That probably meant that Dalinar had retreated, assuming he'd actually survived. There was nothing worth fighting for out here.
"Give me one of those spheres," Kaladin said.
She handed one over, and Kaladin went searching among the fallen. For pulses, ostensibly, but really for any equipment or spheres.
"You think any of these might be alive?"
Shallan asked, voice sounding small in the otherwise silent chasm.
"Well, we survived somehow." "How do you think that happened?"
Shallan said, looking upward toward the gap, far, far above.
"I saw some windspren just before we fell," Kaladin said. "I've heard folk tales of them protecting a person as he falls. Perhaps that's what happened."
Shallan went silent as he searched the bodies.
"Yes," she finally said. "That sounds logical."
She seemed convinced. Good. So long as she didn't start wondering about the stories told of Kaladin's Stormblast. Nobody else was alive, but he verified for certain that neither Dalinar nor Adolin were among the corpses.
"I was a fool not to spot that an assassination attempt was coming," Kaladin thought.
Sadeas had tried hard to undermine Dalinar at the feast a few days back, with the revelation of the visions. It was a classic ploy. Discredit your enemy, then kill him, to make certain he didn't become a martyr. The corpses had little of value. A handful of spheres, some writing implements that Shallan greedily snatched up and stuffed into her satchel. No maps. Kaladin had no specific idea where they were, and with night imminent.
"What do we do?"
Shallan asked softly, staring at the darkened realm, with its unexpected shadows, its gently moving frills, vines, polyp-like staccatos, their tendrils out and wafting in the air. Kaladin remembered his first times down in this place, which always felt too green, too muggy, too alien. Nearby, two skulls peeked out from beneath the moss, watching. Splashing sounded from a distant pool, which made Shallan spin wildly. Though the chasms were a home to Kaladin now, he did not deny that at times they were distinctly unnerving.
"It's safer down here than it seems," Kaladin said.
"During my time in Sadeas's army, I spent days upon days in the chasms, gathering salvage from the fallen. Just watch for Rotspren."
"And the chasm fiends?"
Shallan asked, spinning to look in another direction as a kremling scuttled along the wall.
"I never saw one."
Which was true, though he had seen a shadow of one once, scraping its way down a distant chasm. Even thinking of that day gave him chills. "They aren't as common as people claim. The real danger is high storms. You see, if it rains, even far away from here."
"Yes. Flash flooding," Shallan said. "Very dangerous in a slot canyon. I've read about them.
I'm sure that will be very helpful, Kaladin said. You mentioned some dead soldiers nearby? She pointed, and he strode in that direction. She followed, sticking close to his light. He found a few dead spearmen who had been shoved off the plateau above. The wounds were fresh. Just beyond them was a dead Parshendi, also fresh. The Parshendi man had uncut gems in his beard. Kaladin touched one, hesitated, then tried to draw the stormlight out. Nothing happened. He sighed, then bowed his head for the fallen before finally pulling a spear from underneath one of the bodies and standing up. The light above had faded to a deep blue. Night.
So, we wait?
Shallan asked. For what? Kaladin asked, raising the spear to his shoulder.
For them to come back.
She trailed off.
They're not coming back for us, are they?
They'll assume we're dead. Storms, we should be dead. We're too far out for a corpse recovery operation, I'd guess. That's doubly true since the Parshendi attacked. He rubbed his chin. I suppose we could wait for Dalinar's major expedition. He was indicating he'd come this way, searching for the center. It's only a few days away, right? Shallan paled. Well, she paled further. That light skin of hers was so strange. It and the red hair made her look like a very small horn-eater.
Dalinar is planning to march just after the final high storm before the Weeping. That storm is close. And it will involve lots and lots and lots of rain.
Bad idea, then.
You could say so.
He tried to imagine what a high storm would be like down here. He had seen the after effects when salvaging with Bridge 4. The twisted, broken corpses, the piles of refuse crushed against walls and into cracks. Boulders as tall as a man casually washed through chasms until they got wedged between two walls, sometimes 50 feet up in the air. When? He asked. When is that high storm? She stared at him, then dug into her satchel, flipping through sheets of paper with her free hand, while holding the satchel through the fabric of her safe hand. She waved him over with his spear, as she had to tuck hers away. He held it up for her as she looked over a page with lines of script.
Tomorrow night, she said softly. Just after first moon set.
Kaladin grunted, holding up his sphere and inspecting the chasm. We're just to the north of the chasm we fell from, he thought, so the way back should be that way.
All right, then,
Shallan said. She took a deep breath, then snapped her satchel closed.
We walk back and we start immediately.
You don't want to sit for a moment and catch your breath?
My breath is quite well caught, Shallan said. If it's all the same to you, I'd rather be moving. Once back, we can sit sipping mulled wine and laugh about how silly it was of us to hurry all that way, since we had so much time to spare. I'd like very much to feel that foolish. You?
Yeah. He liked the chasms. It didn't mean he wanted to risk a high storm in one of them. You don't have a map in that satchel, do you?
No.
Shallan said with a grimace.
I didn't bring my own. Brightness Velat has the maps. I was using hers. But I might be able to remember some of what I've seen.
Then I think we should go this way, Kaladin said, pointing. He started walking.
The bridge man started walking off in the direction he'd pointed, not even giving her a chance to state her opinion on the matter. Shallan kept a huff to herself, snatching up her pack. She'd found some waterskins on the soldiers, and satchel. She hurried after him, her dress catching on something she hoped was a very white stick. The tall bridgeman deftly stepped over and around debris, eyes forward. Why did he have to be the one who survived? Though, to be honest, she was pleased to find anyone. Walking down here alone would not have been pleasant. At least he was superstitious enough to believe that he'd been saved by some twist of fate and spren. She had no idea how she'd saved herself, let alone him. Pattern rode on her skirts, and before she'd found the bridgeman, he'd been speculating that the stormlight had kept her alive. alive after a fall of at least 200 feet? It only proved how little she knew about her abilities. Stormfather. She'd saved this man, too. She was sure of it. He'd been falling right beside her as they plummeted. But how? And could she figure out how to do it again? She hurried to keep up with him, blasted a Lethe in their freakishly long legs. He marched like a soldier, giving no thought to how she had to pick her way more carefully than he did. She didn't want to get her skirt caught on every branch they passed. They reached a pool of water on the chasm floor, and he hopped up onto a log that bridged the water, barely breaking stride as he crossed. She stopped at the edge. He looked back at her, holding up a sphere. "You aren't going to demand I give you my boots again, are you?" She raised a foot, revealing the military-style boots she wore underneath her dress. That got him to cock an eyebrow. "I wasn't about to come out onto the shattered plains in slippers," she said, blushing. "Besides, nobody can see your shoes under a dress this long." She regarded the log. "You want me to help you across?" he asked. "Actually, I'm wondering how the trunk of a stumpweight tree got here," she confessed. "They can't possibly be native to this area of the shattered plains. Too cold out here. It might have grown along the coast, but a high storm really carried it that far? 400 miles?
"You're not going to demand we stop for you to sketch a picture, are you?"
"Oh, please," Shallan said, stepping up onto the log and picking her way across. "Do you know how many sketches I have of stump weights? The other things down here were a different matter entirely." As they continued on their way, Shallan used her sphere, which she had to juggle in her free hand, trying to manage it along with the satchel in her safe hand and the pack over her shoulder, to illuminate her surroundings. They were stunning. Dozens of different varieties of vines, frill blooms of red, orange, and violet, tiny rock buds on the walls, and haspers in little clusters, opening and closing their shells as if breathing. Motes of lifespren drifted around a patch of shale bark that grew in knobby patterns like fingers. You almost never saw that formation above. The tiny glowing specks of green light drifted through the chasm toward an entire wall of fist-sized tube plants with little feelers wiggling out the top. As Shallan passed, the feelers retracted in a wave running up the wall. She gasped softly and took a memory. The bridge man stopped ahead of her, turning.
"Well?"
"Don't you even notice how beautiful it is?" He looked up at the wall of tube plants. She was certain she'd read about those somewhere, but the name escaped her. The bridge man continued on his way. Shallan jogged after him, pack thumping against her back. She almost tripped over a snarled pile of dead vines and sticks as she reached him. She cursed, hopping on one foot to stay upright before steadying herself. He reached out and took the pack from her. "Finally," she thought. "Thank you." He grunted, slipping it over his shoulder before continuing on without another word. They reached a crossroads in the chasms, a path going right and another going left. They'd have to weave around the next plateau before them to continue westward. Shallan looked up at the rift, getting a good picture in her mind of how this side of the plateau looked, as Kaladin chose one of the paths.
"This is going to take a while," he said. "Even longer than it took to get out here. We had to wait upon the whole army then, but we could also cut through the centers of the plateaus. Having to go around every one of them will add a lot to the trip."
"Well, at least the companionship is pleasant," he eyed her. "For you, I mean," she added.
"Am I going to have to listen to you prattle all the way back?"
"Of course not," she said. "I also intend to do some blathering, a little nattering, and the occasional gibber, but not too much, lest I overdo a good thing."
"Great."
"I've been practicing my burble," she added.
"I just can't wait to hear."
"Oh, well, that was it, actually." He studied her, those severe eyes of his boring into her own. She turned away from him. He didn't trust her, obviously. He was a bodyguard. She doubted that he trusted many people. They reached another intersection, and Kaladin took longer to make this decision. She could see why. Down here, it was difficult to determine which way was which. The plateau formations were varied and erratic. Some were long and thin, others almost perfectly round. They had knobs and peninsulas off to their sides, and that made a maze of the twisted paths between them. It should have been easy. There were few dead ends, after all, and so they really just had to keep moving westward. But which direction was westward? It would be very, very easy to get lost down here. "You're not picking our course at random, are you?" she asked. "No." "You seem to know a lot about these chasms."
"I do."
"Because the gloomy atmosphere matches your disposition, I assume." He kept his eyes forward, walking without comment. "Storms," she said, hurrying to catch up. "That was supposed to be light-hearted. What would it take to make you relax, Bridge Boy?"
"I guess I'm just a... what was it again? A hateful man."
"I haven't seen any proof to the contrary."
"That's because you don't care to look, Light Eyes. Everyone beneath you is just a plaything."
"What?" she said, taking it like a slap to the face. "Where would you get that idea?"
"It's obvious."
"To whom? To you only? When have you seen me treat someone of a lesser station like a plaything? Give me one example."
"When I was imprisoned," he said immediately, "for doing what any Light Eyes would have been applauded for doing."
"And that was my fault?" she demanded.
"It's the fault of your entire class. Each time one of us is defrauded, enslaved, beaten, or broken, the blame rests upon all of you who support it, even indirectly."
"Oh, please," she said. "The world isn't fair? What a huge revelation. Some people in power abuse those they have power over? Amazing! When did this start happening?" He gave no reply. He tied his spheres to the top of his spear with a pouch formed from the white handkerchief he'd found on one of the scribes. Held high, it lit the chasm nicely for them. "I think," she said, tucking away her own sphere for convenience, "that you're just looking for excuses. Yes, you've been mistreated, I admit it. But I think you're the one who cares about eye color, that it's just easier for you to pretend that every Light Eyes is abusing you because of your status. Have you ever asked yourself if there's a simpler explanation? Could it be that people don't like you not because you're dark-eyed, but because you're just a huge pain in the neck?" He snorted, then moved on more quickly. "No," Shallan said, practically running to keep even with him in his long stride. "You're not wiggling out of this. You don't get to imply that I'm abusing my station, then walk off without a response. You did this earlier with Adolin, now with me. What is your problem?"
"You want a better example of you playing with people beneath you?"
Kaladin asked, dodging her question.
"Fine. You stole my boots. You pretended to be someone you weren't and bullied a dark-eyed guard you'd barely met. Is that a good enough example of you playing with someone you saw as beneath you?"
She stopped in her tracks. He was right there. She wanted to blame Tin's influence, but his comment cut the bite out of her argument. He stopped ahead of her, looking back. Finally, he sighed.
"Look," he said, "I'm not holding a grudge about the boots. From what I've seen lately, you're not as bad as the others. So let's just leave it at that."
"Not as bad as the others?" Shallan said, walking forward. "What a delightful compliment. Well, let's say you're right. Perhaps I am an insensitive rich woman. That doesn't change the fact that you can be downright mean and offensive, Kaladin Stormblessed." He shrugged. "That's it?" she asked. "I apologize and all I get in return is a shrug?"
"I am what the Light Eyes have made me to be."
"So you're not culpable at all," she said flatly, "for the way you act."
"I'd say not."
"Stormfather. I can't say anything to change the way you treat me, can I? You're just going to continue to be an intolerant, odious man full of spite, incapable of being pleasant around others. Your life must be very lonely. That seemed to get under his skin, as his face turned red in the sphere light.
I'm starting to revise my opinion, he said, of you not being as bad as the others.
Don't lie, she said. You've never liked me, right from the start, and not just because of the boots. I see how you watch me.
That's because, he said, I know you're lying through your smile at everyone you meet. The only time you seem honest is when you're insulting someone.
The only honest things I can say to you are insults.
Bah, he said. I just... Bah! Why is it that being around you makes me want to claw my face off, woman?
I have special training, she said, glancing to the side. And I collect faces. What was that?
You can't just...
He cut off as the scraping noise, echoing from one of the chasms, grew louder. Kaladin immediately put his hand over the improvised sphere lantern, plunging them into darkness. In Shallan's estimation, that did not help. She stumbled toward him in the darkness, grabbing his arm with her free hand. He was annoying, but he was also there. The scraping continued. A sound like rock on rock, or carapace on rock. I guess, she whispered nervously. Having a shouting match in an echoing network of chasms was not terribly wise.
Yeah.
It's getting closer, isn't it? She whispered.
Yeah.
So, run? The scraping seemed just beyond the next turn.
Yeah,
Kaladin said, pulling his hand off his spheres and charging away from the noise.